to go along with us in the study. Examine the things that are said. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to pull me aside. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Paul writes, "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." And so Paul warns about the need to not lie. And that's an important subject to think about. Lying is something that a lot of people are confused about. You know, what is a lie? And again, if you look at our dictionary, it'll say, to lie is to make an untrue statement with an intent to deceive or to create a false or misleading impression. And lying is indeed a dangerous thing. It's something that will eventually get us into hell. And in the book of Proverbs, the 19th chapter, if you turn over there with me, we'll notice one proverb there that talks about how dangerous lying is. Proverbs 19. And in verse 5, the wise man writes, "A false witness will not go unpunished, and he who breathes out lies will not escape." In other words, if you are one who is given a lie, you're going to suffer for that. It's going to become known at some point or another. And if you're still in Proverbs, you remember Proverbs chapter 6, where the wise man lists some things that God hates, that he despises. There are six things he mentions there, and among those things are lying. Proverbs 6, and in verse 16, the wise man says, "There are six things that the Lord hates, seven that are an abomination to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that make haste to run to evil, a false witness who breathes out lies, and one who sows discord among brothers." Again, the idea of lying is mentioned there several times. God despises that. And so no wonder then we find Paul in Colossians telling the brethren to not lie. Over in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, another passage where the Christian is told not to lie. So we're going to talk about that this morning, how we ought not lie to one another. And we're going to talk about how pervasive lying is, how widespread it is. We're going to talk about its processes. How do people lie? What are the ways that we do that sometimes? We're going to talk about its purposes a little bit. Why do we lie? And then its perniciousness, how evil, how destructive it is. And then finally, its price, what it costs us when we engage in lying. And so let's think about the pervasiveness of lying. It's everywhere, all around us, all the time, and it's something that has plagued mankind from the beginning. You remember back in the book of Genesis, the third chapter, it's the first sin that is recorded. Of course, the serpent is the one that takes God's words and he twists them to say something that God didn't say. Genesis 3 and verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die," asking about eating the fruit. "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and the tree was desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. As Paul said, the woman was deceived. Satan deceived her. He lied to her about what God had said, what God had meant. And so we find that as the first sin. And if you go down through the book of Genesis, one of the things that's interesting, at least to me anyways, is the problem God's faithful had with lying. Abraham, the friend of God, the man of God, the one who is mentioned so many times as the pinnacle of faithfulness for you and me to follow in his steps. And yet one of the things that Abraham struggled with was lying. In Genesis chapter 12, you recall they were going down to Egypt. We'll read this later on. But there was a famine in the land, and Abraham was worried that they would see his wife Sarah and how beautiful she was, and they would want to take her for their own. And in order to get her, they'd kill him to have her. And so Abraham says, "I want you to do me a favor. When we go into these lands, you tell them that you're my sister." And she did. And this happens in Egypt. It happens with Abimelech later on.
And so we see him struggling with that, telling the truth. We'll look at that again a little bit later. His son Isaac, in Genesis 26, turn over there, and you recall this occasion when Isaac, just like his father, he is in Gerar and he has the same problem. He is afraid that they're going to want to take his wife and they're going to try to kill him. And so it says there in Genesis 26 and in verse 6, so Isaac settled in Gerar, and when the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah, because she was attractive in appearance. Of course, you know the rest of the story. Bad things happened because of that lie. And then if you go on down through the story, Jacob, whose name means supplanter, him and his mother, Isaac's wife, they deceive him to get the birthright blessing for Jacob. And so we could go on down through Abraham's family. Jacob's family lying is a huge problem for them. They struggle with it a good bit. And so we see it all down through the Old Testament. We see the father acting like the son, the wife picking it up. They're all struggling with lying. And if you go to the New Testament even, this came up in class this morning for a different reason, but the first sin recorded in the early church, what is it? It's lying. Ananias and Sapphira passing off how much they gave for some land. And so it's a terrible problem. It's all over the place. So prevalent today in our society. I was looking in the dictionary, saw this in another lesson I was studying, and went and looked it up, and it was true. That our dictionary has at least 5 synonyms to describe lying, and each one of them is a little bit different definition for what it is. And let me read these to you. Of course, a lie is the blunt term, imputing dishonesty, just telling a flat-out false truth. But then we have prevaricate. That's a big word. It means to soften the bluntness of the lie by implying quibbling or confusing the issue. Not being direct, but trying to kind of beating around the bush, but trying to lie. Equivocate is another word. It implies using words having more than one sense so as to seem to say one thing, but really mean another. So another way we sometimes try to lie. Palter. I never heard that word before. But it implies making unreliable statements of fact, or intention, or insincere promises. Again, saying you're going to do something and you have no intention of doing it. And then, of course, fib. Heard that one before. Applies to telling a trivial untruth, whatever that means. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. And so, as I was studying again, you find various articles like this all the time. There was a TV show once, I can't remember the name of the show, but the person always said, "Everybody lies." That was the idea. And I found this article, Simulations Reveal How White Lies Glue Society Together and Black Lies Create Diversity, MIT Technology Review. And in that article, it said, various studies have shown that we lie all the time. And that's how our society looks at it. And that's probably true for far too many people. They lie all the time. Even those who profess to be Christians sometimes struggle with it. I remember years ago, we were having a Bible study with some young people. We were talking about lying, and we got into the study, and I asked a question. I asked, is it okay to tell white lies? Just threw that out there to see what would happen, and several of them told me it was fine. One of them told me that their parents said it was okay, that sometimes you have to. We'll talk about that, but that happens. People think that you can tell an untruth. Andy Griffith, I love that show. But all down through that show, you know, they tell these little white lies. And they usually think they're trying to do someone a favor. And that we were watching some movies with the kids last night, Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I don't think you've heard of that. But anyways, in that book, the main character, he's always lying. And he gets in more and more trouble because he keeps having to make up lies to cover for that lie. And so it's all over the place. We find it, our children struggle with it in school, cheating to get a better grade, in sports. We see all the time athletes who get caught cheating, trying to get ahead. We see in business people doing that. Our taxes, all over the place, we're tempted to lie. And so it's a dangerous sin. We need to really watch out for it because it is everywhere. But how do we do it?
How do we tell lies? Again, I showed you there are five synonyms. There are all kinds of ways to lie. We don't have enough time to cover them all, but we think about lying and how people do it, and the Bible has various examples of that. Some of them are very straightforward. Some of them are not so for some people, but sometimes we can just tell a flat-out lie, a blatant falsehood. You think about Cain in Genesis 4. He kills his brother, and God wants to know, where's your brother at? And Cain knows where he is. He killed him. Cain says, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? He's told, what we say, a bald-faced lie. And so sometimes that happens. Hopefully for most of us, that's not the case. We don't do things like that, but that is one way people do. Another thing people do is tell a half-truth. Genesis 12, I was talking about Abraham, and I don't know how all of you feel about that. Some people don't think that it was a lie, but I think that it was. It was a half-truth. Sarah was his sister, had the same father but different mothers, but the fact that she was his wife, that was pertinent information. The people that they were meeting, they needed to know that, and Abraham knew that. That's why he told them to tell the lie, because he was afraid if they found out, they'd kill him to take her. And so telling a half-truth is a half-lie, as I've heard it said many times. We have to think about that. Does someone have a right and a need to know this information so they won't make a bad decision or do something that's wrong? And think about that when we say something. And Abraham, of course, struggled with that, and his children did likewise. So sometimes people tell half-truths. Sometimes people misrepresent the truth. They give a false impression about something. And in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, that's an interesting account for many reasons, but in our context, again, you remember in Acts chapter 4, Barnabas, there were so many needy people among the brethren that Barnabas took some land and he sold it. In the end of Acts 4, he brought the money and he gave it to the apostles to help his brethren. What a great example of benevolence, of trying to help your brethren and being willing to sacrifice things. And then we get to Acts 5 and it says, but verse 1, but a man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property. And with his wife's knowledge, he kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard of it. And of course, you know Sapphira, the same thing. Peter asked her the same question, and she persisted in the same lie because she didn't know what happened to her husband. And they were both struck dead. And so, this is such an interesting occasion to me because none of the brethren could know they lied. They didn't know. And who was hurt by it? Who was hurt by them holding the money back? No one, but God knew it. And he struck them dead. As Peter said, it was your money. You could have done with whatever you wanted to. You could have just given this part. That would have been fine. But you lied. And so sometimes we do that. We pass off something like that. We misrepresent what really is the truth. We're trying to deceive someone. And it's a lie. No victimless lie there. But we see that happening sometimes. Sometimes people twist people's words and try to slander someone. Think about it in Mark, the 14th chapter, when the enemies of Jesus had false witnesses brought together, and they were talking about him tearing down the temple and building it back up in 3 days. And, of course, the text tells us the Lord was talking about his body, and didn't anyone believe that he was going to do that, actually tear it down and build it back up? But they knew that. They twisted those words. And sometimes people do that. We see it all the time on TV, in politics. People always do that. You say something, and they'll take it out of context and twist it to mean something you didn't intend at all. And so that happens. Sometimes it happens among us with one another. Someone will say something, you'll catch a little bit of it. And instead of asking them what they meant, you'll just run off and say something. And that's one way that people lie. Think about Judas in Matthew 26. when he betrayed the Lord, and he came and he did it by giving him a kiss, a greeting. His motives weren't genuine. It was not a true kiss of greeting. It says in Matthew 26, verse 27, 47, rather, while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, with him a great crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders of the people, and now the betrayer had given them a sign saying, the one I will kiss is the man. Seize him. And he came up to Jesus at once and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. It wasn't a friendly kiss at all. It wasn't genuine or sincere. That was a lie. And so we see that happen sometimes too. And then, to me, one of the saddest ones is self-deceit. We lie to ourselves. Remember 1 John 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Sometimes we convince ourselves that something is true, and we know it's not true. And that's a really sad one. James 1 talks about being a hearer, not a doer, rattling our tongue. And so there's all kinds of ways that you and I can fall into the trap of lying. We need to avoid those things. Anytime we intentionally say something that's not true, and we know it's not, we do something that causes someone to believe something is untrue, that's a lie. And like I said, you can think of all kinds of ways, but that's just a few we find in the Scriptures. Why do people do that? What moves us to do that, to lie? And there are all kinds of reasons. One is that sometimes we want to avoid obligation. We want to get out of doing something that we've obligated ourselves to do or we just don't feel like doing. You remember in Luke, the 14th chapter, Christ has this parable of the great banquet and the feast is prepared and the guests are invited. But in verse 18, they all like begin to make excuses. And the first said to him, I have bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. We try to get out of things. We do this all the time. Some people do. Obligations we have. One of the most common I can think about, and there are many, but I remember when I worked back at the school system, the superintendent used to talk about people that could feel a sick day coming on. They could just feel it coming, and they knew about it beforehand, and they would call in, and they were sick. There wasn't a thing in the world wrong with them, you know, but they didn't want to come to work. And that happens sometimes, but again, we need to be careful about that. Because sometimes we lie to get out of those things. And if you're teaching in school, I can understand why sometimes you might feel that. But you can't do that. If you're not sick, you need to go to work. And so don't lie about that. But because when we do that, who are we really lying to? God, ultimately. To ourselves, to our boss, all those kinds of things. And with our parents sometimes, children do that. We don't do that, but sometimes we do that. We try to get out of obligation. Sometimes we do it out of vanity and pride. You think about Ananias and Sapphira. Why did they lie? When I look at the text, the meaning that I get is they wanted to be looked at like Barnabas, who came and did that great thing, and people, you know, they were just so moved by that that they wanted to be that way. So sometimes we'll do that. We'll lie. I saw an article last week, someone in Walmart, I think it was their public spokesman or something, lied on his resume, you know, and he got fired. But sometimes we want to embellish things and make ourselves look better, and so we have to avoid that. Sometimes people lie out of embarrassment or fear. That's very common. A lot of us can relate to that. We don't want to be found out for something that we've done, or we're just afraid of the consequences. You think about Matthew 26 and Peter denying the Lord three times. You know, why did he do that? He was afraid. Afraid of what would happen, and so he lied about the Lord. He didn't know him, ends up even cursing to drive the point home. And so sometimes that happens to us. We're afraid of what might happen to us. You think about Abraham, Genesis 12. Why did he lie? He was afraid that he'd be killed. He was scared. Sometimes we're afraid of the consequences. You think about Sarah in Genesis 18 when God comes to Abraham, the angels come, and they're sitting there, and he says, and next time I'm going to come down here, Sarah's going to have a child, and Sarah laughed. And he asked Abraham, why is she laughing? I didn't laugh. Why? Because she's afraid. Afraid of the consequences. And so fear. Again, a lot of times with children, that's what happens to them. They're afraid they're going to get in trouble. I told my kids many times, you know, it's better to tell me the truth they lie to me. Because if I catch you in the lie, it's going to be worse. The punishment will be far worse. If you just tell me the truth, it won't be nearly as bad. But we're afraid. And so we do that sometimes with people, even with God. We can't fool him. He can see. But sometimes fear does that. Sometimes people do it for greed. You think about Jezebel in 1 Kings 21 and Ahab. And you remember, again, for the sake of time, I'll just have to give you the summary of that. But Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. And Naboth wouldn't sell it. And he was pouting. And so Jezebel, you recall, to get that for him, he wanted it so bad, she said, well, I'll take care of it for you. And she gets some people to help her out, and she makes up a store there to tell Naboth to come to the feast, and then they're to put up false witnesses that he said this, that, and the other, and have him killed. And they did, to get the vineyard. And sometimes people do that. They lie out of greed. They want financial gain. Maybe they want social status or bragging rights, but greed sometimes motivates us to tell lies. And we can't do that. Then there are some people that have no love for the truth, and that's a scary thing to me. But look in Psalms 62 with me. Psalms 62. We'll just notice one verse there. There are people that love to lie. Psalm 62 and verse 4 says, they only plan to thrust him down from his high position. They take pleasure in falsehood. They bless with their mouths, but inwardly they curse. You ever know somebody like that? They take pleasure in lies. They like to destroy people, hurt people. And they'll say things they know are not true just to get back and to hurt people. People like that. That's a sad condition. May it never be so among any of us. We would be that way. Well, that happens to people. Even Paul talked about in Thessalonians, those who have no love for the truth, they'll believe a lie and be damned. That's a sad thing, but that happens. And then, don't want to go by without talking about this one. Others lie because they consider it for the greater good. And I've got that in quotations because that's not really the case. But you remember back in Romans chapter 3, Paul says something about this. They were being slandered, and a very mixed up concept of what God would have. But there in Romans 3 and verse 8, and why not do evil that good may come, as some people slanderously charge us with saying. Their condemnation is just, Paul hadn't taught that, but you know, the more sin is, the more grace abounds. Kind of an idea. And Paul says, some people are saying that. Let's do evil that good may come. The ends justify the means. And some people lie like that. They lie for what they think is good, for what they think is fair. Right, I talked about Andy Griffith a little while ago. You know, Barney can't sing good. We don't want to hurt his feelings. So we're going to do all this stuff to try to make sure that Barney doesn't find out that he can't sing a lick. And there's 100 episodes like that. But we do that to protect the innocent. You think about some of these funnies, like the Geico commercial with Abraham Lincoln. His wife says, do I look fat in this dress? And Abraham Lincoln's honest Abe. You know, what's he going to say? You think about, you watch my kids. I say, how do they behave? Little innocent things like that. You know, when you think about it, what's the big deal? Those call for tact. Tact. And answering. But don't lie. Don't do that. But people do that all the time. People believe the government lies to us sometimes about things like that for the greater good. There's no God-given reason to lie. Not at all. And so the main reason usually people lie, most of these up here, is for selfishness. Even sometimes this one, because we don't want to tell someone the truth because it may hurt them. But the truth is far better than a lie. And so we need to think about that, why we might be motivated to do that. Because lying, it's destructive. It's pernicious. It's evil and very destructive in the things to do. Again, you think about where lying comes from. It's not from God. God is perfectly good, perfectly holy, nothing evil at all about him. Titus chapter 1, Paul talking there, he says, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, verse 2, and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. He says, God never lies, so we can hope. We can believe, we can trust God because He never, ever lies. Hebrew writer makes the same point. And so, God does everything for our good. Every commandment, every statute, everything He says and does, it's for our good. Lying doesn't come from Him. It comes from the devil. You remember in John chapter 8, Christ there, talking to the multitudes that did not believe, and He says to them that they are of their father, the devil. And He says in verse 44, you, rather, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in it. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And so we see that lying is something that is of Satan, who's a murderer from the beginning, whose own nature is always to lie. And so we look at that, we should understand that lying is destructive. It doesn't ever do any good. Lying always undermines our credibility. When it's found out, it always does. It undermines our trust. Yes, you can repent. Yes, you can do all those things, but it takes time to get the trust back. It takes time to get the credibility back. It takes time to get the reputation back. Because when you lie, it destroys that. Again, how can we trust God? Because He never lies. And so when He says it, I know it. But people, sometimes they do. And so it takes a lot of work to build that. Lies destroys relationships. Proverbs 26. Turn over there with me. No one likes to be lied to, right? Anybody? No one likes to be lied to. And there are many passages that talk about the harm that lies do. This is one of my, I guess, favorites about dealing with some particular kinds of lies. Proverbs 26 and verse 18 and 19. And the writer just talked about meddling in a quarrel that's not your own, is like grabbing a dog by the ears. But then he says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking. You ever had that happen? Where someone, your friend's done it to you and you catch them? I'm only joking. Or you ever done that? Oh, that hurts. Very destructive. But that happens all the time. People do that. They'll say all kinds of ugly things, do all kinds of things, and then when you catch them in it, I was only joking. Destroys friendships. Jeremiah chapter 9 talks about how bad the people had gotten. And to me, it's a good picture of what lying will do if it goes unchecked. And it reminds me a good bit about even our society to some degree. But look at Jeremiah 9, verse 4. Let everyone beware of his neighbor, and put no trust in any brother, for every brother is a deceiver, and every neighbor goes about as a slanderer, and everyone deceives his neighbor, and no one speaks the truth, and they have taught their tongue to speak lies, and they weary themselves, committing iniquity, heaping oppression upon oppression, and deceit upon deceit. They refuse to know me, declares the Lord. What a terrible state. But lying does that. It just destroys relationships. People don't trust each other. A terrible thing. And it's a learned behavior, lying is. Sets a bad example. Again, Abraham did it. His son did it. His son's wife did it. And you know, if your kids, my kids, see us lying, what do? They pick it up. And they start doing it. And so lying is one of those sins. It's habitual. Once you do it one time, you're about to get caught. What do? You make up another lie. This person, you make up another lie. You keep making up lies. I'm not going to try to quote the little saying about the web we weave because I'll mess it up. But that's what happens. We just get ourselves into more and more trouble when we lie. And so we need to watch out. Because lying has a huge price attached to it. There's no such thing as a harmless fib. say that, and we can think of all the little innocent things that we do sometimes, but lying always has a consequence. It always does. In this present day and time, when we lie, we harm people oftentimes when we tell a lie. Other people get hurt by the words that we say, the things that we do. I think about Jacob in Genesis 37. When Joseph's brothers are so jealous and envious of him, and they sell him into slavery, and the brothers got to do something. They can't go home and tell their daddy the truth. They're not going to do that. And you know they do. They take the cloak there. Let's look at this. Genesis 37, verse 33. They take the robe of many colors. They dip it in the blood of a goat. They bring it home to Jacob. And they say in verse 32, "This we have found. Please identify whether it is your son's robe or not." And he identified it and said, "It is my son's robe. A fierce animal has devoured him. Joseph is without torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his garments and put sackcloth on his loins and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, "No, I shall go down to Sheol to my son mourning." Thus his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard. Terrible. Of course, Jacob, you know, he had a problem with lying too. And his boys perpetrate this lie on their father. You knew the story of Joseph, how many years it was that Jacob believed that boy was dead. How much pain he suffered for that. And then he finally, of course, in the end, finds out that it's not true. But pain is caused when we do that. We can see that. We harm ourselves when we lie. Again, you start telling lies, it's kind of like using profanity. You get used to it. Get in the habit of doing it. It doesn't bother you anymore. And over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, read about those that are going to fall away from the faith. And it says, through the insincerity of liars, Paul says, whose consciences are seared. It doesn't bother them to lie anymore. They've gotten used to it. And I'm telling you, if you start lying, if you get in the habit of doing it, it gets easier and easier. It doesn't bother you anymore. And you're only hurting yourself. And then one of the worst things about lying in the present age is that it's a stumbling block to people. It can cause people to sin, to make unwise decisions, influence them to do that. I'm reminded of 1 Kings 13, and again, time won't let us do it, but the young prophet and the old prophet, man went up to Bethel and cried against the altar, and Jeroboam wanted him to come and eat with him. He said, "I can't. God told me don't eat anything, don't drink anything, and don't go home the way I came here. Go a different way." And he goes off doing what God said. Do you remember the old prophet comes? "I'm a prophet too. And God said for you to come home with me." And the young prophet believed the lie. And what happened? God came and he spoke to the old prophet and said, "You didn't obey me." And the lion killed him. And so that happens. A lot of times we lie. We lead other people into doing things they shouldn't do. They sin because of being lied to. But then ultimately the big thing is the end. You know, eternal issues, the age to come. If we're guilty of lying, we're not going to have an inheritance in the kingdom of God. God hates lying. Again, Proverbs says that. He's warned us not to lie. And in Revelation chapter 20, we read this morning, this verse, but look at it again with me. Revelation 20, verse 10, John sees Satan being defeated. He says, "And the devil who has deceived them," there he is, he's lying. He's the deceiver, "was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." Who else will be there? Well, Revelation 21 and verse 8. Again, one of those passages to me is very scary, a very chilling passage, because John names specific things, and some of these things that he names, some people don't bat an eye at. They think there's nothing wrong with it. But look at Revelation 21 verse 8. "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars." That's where the end is. All liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is
the second death. That's where lying gets you, gets me. It gets us in the worst possible place in the end with the devil in hell. And so we need to really think carefully about this sin. Paul told us in Colossians 3, told the Colossians, telling you and me not to lie to one another, but tell the truth. And becoming a Christian, that passage there tells us. That means putting off lying, putting off all that old stuff, and putting on the new man in Christ, speaking the truth in love to one another. That's not always easy. But we can do it. We have to do it. And we can overcome this sin through the power of the gospel. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it can help you and me defeat this sin. Ephesians 6:10, Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And when I think about lying, I always think about James 1:19. Be swift to hear and slow to speak. And I think that's one of the biggest things that can help us in overcoming lying is slowing down before you open your mouth. Learn to love and desire the truth in whatever you say and do. And then when you're put in a situation, slow down. Don't just speak. I can recall when I worked at the school system as the IT guy, part of my job was to go out and investigate different situations. Maybe someone was using the computer improperly or something like that, and I would be asked to go and investigate. And oftentimes, the person that was in trouble, they were sitting there with me in the classroom while I was doing this. And it always bothered me because I did not want to be put in a position where I would be asked to lie. I told my boss that I wasn't going to do that. And so they ask you, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And you can think of situations that apply to yourself. And I was told this several times, and it always stuck with me. You don't have to answer every question. Sometimes we feel compelled to lie. We've got to say something. You don't have to answer every question. You think about the time that Jesus was asked questions by people. He didn't answer their questions always. And you don't have to answer every question. You don't have to do that. You don't have to tell everybody everything you know. Sometimes they need to know. Sometimes they don't. Think before you speak. Again, there are all kinds of things, but we need to slow down and think before we speak. Lying is not the choice we want to make. Put off the old man. Put on the new man. Put on Christ. Christ lived just like you and me did. And Hebrews 4 says he never sinned. He never lied. I love what Paul says in Ephesians 6 and in verse 14. Turn over there with me and the lesson will be yours. Talking about the armor of God. Of course, he goes down listing the various things that comprise that armor. And in verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand. Gird yourself with truth. God can help you and me overcome this sin. Hope the lesson will help you again. It's one of those things we fall into so many times and we need to avoid it at all costs. As always, I want to extend the invitation. Maybe this morning you're someone who's a Christian, you're struggling. We pray you would come. You can pray. We'll do whatever we can to help you. God wants you to be right with him. We want you to be right with him. This is a convenient time. And if you're not a Christian, do what Paul said. Put off the old man this morning. Won't you come in faith, repentance, and confession? Be baptized. Have your sins washed away. Won't you come this morning while we stand and while we sing?